So became very passionate about trying to create a restaurant concept that would help show people that plant-based food could be delicious and enjoyable, and then create the impact that I think a lot of people are seeing today.
Green Hero. Hi, friends, and welcome to the Green Hero Podcast. This is Ricard, founder of Green Hero, your go-to source for making plant-based eating easy and enjoyable. Each week, we'll be digging into the inspiring journeys of people who live a plant-based lifestyle to tease out the most effective and fun ways to add more plants to your life.
Green Hero. Green Hero. Green Hero.
Today's guest is founder and chairman of Veggie Grill, TK Pilliam. Since founding Veggie Grill in 2006, TK has been on a mission to help people eat more plant-based food by making it accessible and delicious. Today, Veggie Grill has grown to 34 locations across the U.S., including Los Angeles and New York City. Riding the success of Veggie Grill, TK and his partners have also expanded with two new plant-based restaurant concepts, Stand Up Burgers and Mas Veggie Vegan Taqueria. In addition to being a restaurateur, TK also runs Power Plant Partners, a private equity firm that has invested in companies like Beyond Meat, Miyoko's Creamery, and Zero Egg. TK, welcome and thank you for joining us on our podcast. How are things going and where are you calling in from today?
Hi, Richard. Yeah, good to be here. And I am doing well, calling in from Veggie Grill headquarters in Culver City, California, which is part of Los Angeles.
All right. That sounds awesome. So I saw you speak at the Reducetarian Summit in San Francisco a few months ago. And I really loved the way that you were stressing the importance of branding for making plant-based eating more mainstream and how it's been essential for the creations of the brands that you have launched. But before digging into the branding aspect, maybe we can start with how you got into this industry in the first place. Where were you in life when the idea of Veggie Grill popped up and what made you go for it?
Sure. I was not a restaurateur by trade. I started my career in the technology industry. I went to MIT and got an engineering degree and then got an MBA along the way and started an e-commerce development firm in the mid-90s. That was one of the first firms here in Los Angeles that provided the end-to-end front-end e-commerce to back-end fulfillment system integration expertise. And we grew quite rapidly during the first phase of the internet boom. And then I sold a piece of the company in 99 and sold out completely in 2004. And then I had a blank slate and I was looking at where I wanted to spend the next part of my career and energy and what I wanted to do. And I always had an interest in health and wellness and started looking at what was happening in the U.S. with dependence on pharmaceuticals and increased healthcare costs and obesity, diabetes, and heart disease, and wanted to be part of the solution. And so one thing led to another, and I was 37 at the time and started looking at, well, how do we help people eat better? And how do we give people delicious, convenient food that also is healthy for people? And through that research and interest, I really honed in on plant-based eating and became a plant-based eater and developed a lot of passion for all of the reasons I think a lot of people know now in terms of not only the health benefits, but the ability and opportunity to help people move away from supporting factory farming and all of this, the destruction it creates, both from an environmental standpoint and an animal treatment standpoint. And so became very passionate about trying to create a restaurant concept that would help show people that plant-based food could be delicious and enjoyable and then create the impact that I think a lot of people are seeing today.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I just wanted to dig in a little bit more when you say you kind of made this transition into plant-based eating yourself first. What was kind of the benefits that you saw this lifestyle provided to you that you wanted to kind of share it with others as well?
Sure. Well, I did not eat red meat, but I had poultry or dairy with every meal. And I thought I was eating healthy, but here I was 37 and about 20 pounds past my college weight and just starting to slow down on workouts. And my cholesterol had gotten to over 200 and I didn't really understand why, because I didn't eat red meat and I worked out three or four times a week. And I guess, you know, I was just attributing all of this, all of these items to old age and getting older. But when I transitioned my diet and became a plant-based eater, everything just reversed. I lost 15 pounds in 3 months, and now I'm down 20 pounds, and I haven't put any weight on since over the past 17 years. My energy levels went way up, and I started to get back to my athletic performance in my 20s in the gym and in my runs, and just seeing the definition in my abs again. And my cholesterol went down by 70 points from over 200 to under 140. So I just became convinced that, hey, this is a great way to eat.
Yeah. No, I definitely hear that. It's very interesting because a lot of people we speak to have kind of had this kind of wow moment with plant-based eating and are just seeing that the benefits are just so huge. And that is kind of what propels them forward to thinking about how can I enable other people to kind of get to this point as well. And how did you get into kind of deciding that it was kind of a restaurant that you wanted to start? I know there's so many just plant-based products out right now, but a restaurant is something totally different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one is I ate out a lot. And then two, I was looking, I was reading some articles back in 2005 and saw that the top 10 franchisees in LA County were all burger and pizza concepts, along with a few Subways. And it was really scratching my head and kind of looking at the fact that, you know, why can't there be a concept that not only is delicious and convenient, but also healthy? And that would really help change American food culture for the better. And people are so loyal to these brands. And so I thought there was this was an opportunity to make a big impact. So, you know, there's a lot of pieces of the plant-based movement and different ways to create that impact. But this was something that resonated with me. And as I dove into it and saw that you could prepare delicious, convenient, healthy food with using the right techniques and the right plant-based products. And as I continued to dive into it with a couple partners, I saw the opportunity to do what Starbucks did for specialty coffee and what Whole Foods did for natural and organic foods. I said, that's what I want to do for vegetarian restaurants, bring it to the mainstream and make it fun, friendly, and enjoyable. And so it seemed like, you know, certainly not going to be easy, but it seemed like an opportunity that I could help make happen.
Yeah. And was the idea from the beginning to do a franchise? I know you have many restaurants today, but was it just like we're going to try out one restaurant and see how it goes? Or from the beginning, it was to kind of we're building like out a franchise of restaurants?
Yeah, the idea from the start was to create a national chain of restaurants because that's the way to create the impact we wanted to create. So we wanted to make sure it was scalable and it wasn't just one restaurant that was highly chef driven. And so that was always the vision. But of course, we had to start with one and make sure the first one worked and build from there.
What was the learnings that you had from this first restaurant before you could start scaling?
Yeah, you know, certainly it's a lot of learnings as you grow a business. We made the decision early on that we were not going to be a concept that was dependent on one great chef, and because we did want to be able to grow quickly and enhance our impact and wanted to create a system that we could repeat across the country. And along the way, when we first started, we were making our own tempeh and making our own seitan because it was 2005 and products were very much at their infancy. Mm-hmm. And so as we started growing, we were getting ready to launch our second location. We had choice to keep making our own tempeh and seitan, and we just started working with Gardein's chicken product that had just come out, and they were just coming out with a steak product. And so as we looked at it, we said, okay, well, we can use Gardein's steak and not make our seitan. And if we could find a good supplier for tempeh, then we wouldn't have to make that anymore. And then we wouldn't have to worry about either making and distributing the product. And that would allow us to take one piece of complexity off our plate and allow us to grow a little bit more quickly into new regions and new locations without worrying about that piece of the logistics. And that was a good decision for us. So that was one key decision where now we deliver the best of the plant-based world and are looking at all the new products being developed every day and have the ability to bring the latest and greatest onto our menu. Yeah, it does all come back to people and systems and making sure you have the right systems and the right people and training them properly. And so, you know, there's a lot of lessons that or concepts you need to have a scalable restaurant chain that we've put in place.
Mm-hmm. And how are you seeing, I mean, plant-based eating is kind of a what's in the media right now as like the thing that people are trying out, but you started so many years ago. Are you seeing that at this point you're able to kind of open restaurants quicker, or that also that people are more open to trying plant-based food than they were in 2005?
Yeah, it's a lot less education now in terms of what plant-based is. Back then, we had to really open people's eyes so you could actually have a chicken product that wasn't real chicken, that tasted like chicken. And now, of course, we have burgers that do the same. And so it's a lot easier to get people to understand what you're serving. So that certainly has changed. And there's a lot more people who believe in the benefits of plant-based. So that has changed. So there's been, you know, in where we are today is definitely much better than where we were 15 years ago. But there's still a lot of education. A lot of people still are new to the plant-based world and have skepticism and are sticking to old habits. And so there's still, we still face that challenge and opportunity to help people begin and advance their plant-based eating journey.
And what are kind of the customers that come to your restaurants? Is it people who are just like, oh, I'm interested in something plant-based? Or are there now people who are like, I've been vegetarian for a while and this is just a great option for me, or people want to eat healthy? What do you see people kind of come from as well?
Yeah, it's really all of the above. It's all of the above. And certainly there's a lot more people eating plant-based now than there used to be. So that percentage has increased over the years, but there's still people who are want to just eat a healthy meal and look at Veggie Grill as their opportunity to do it. And there's people who are curious and they're usually brought in by friends or family. And we love the fact that we're the place that you can bring your friend and or doubtful family member and show them how great plant-based food can be and then hopefully get them to eat it more often.
Yeah. And how are you kind of catering as well? Are you seeing like a difference in people eating like lunch or like dinner as well? Like where do you see people coming to? Because a lot of people, they go and they're working and they want something like really good food and feel energized during the day. Or are you seeing people also come for dinner when it might be a little bit more social or celebratory as well when people go out eating?
We have a diverse menu at Veggie Grill, so we certainly serve multiple occasions. We have healthy salads and bowls for lunch, and but we also have the heartier burgers and sandwiches that people do eat them for lunch, but they also are a great way to relax at dinner. So we're almost split 50-50 lunch, dinner.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And kind of taking now like a more dig into branding as well. How was the idea of Veggie Grill first popped up? Like, was it that it just felt like that was the segment that you wanted to go to, or where it's more like you were thinking like a certain kind of meals you wanted to focus on, and what felt like that it would be inviting for people? How was the approach to kind of, this is what we believe that people will kind of want to test this kind of food out?
Yeah, for us, what served us well is before we did any sort of work on a name or what the restaurant was going to look like or what the menu was going to look like, we really envisioned what we wanted in terms of an experience. And we wanted the experience to be fun, friendly, and approachable and clean, crisp, and contemporary, because we wanted to get people who were a little skeptical and or kind of looked at it as kind of had different perceptions of vegan food. We wanted to get past that, do everything possible to get past that. And so that's where we wanted it to be fun, friendly, approachable, clean, crisp, and contemporary. And ultimately, Veggie Grill is a name that is kind of fun, friendly, and approachable. And so that worked for us. And we made sure we set up a menu and an overall atmosphere that conveyed those attributes as well.
And how much did like the interior design as well of the restaurant itself, was that also like a very big driving factor when you were thinking about branding and the experience?
Yes, absolutely. You know, when you're eating at a restaurant, you know, your ambiance is the packaging. It's, you know, you're going out not just to eat, but to enjoy yourself and have a place that you enjoy being at. So we had to make sure we had something that we felt was clean, crisp, and contemporary. And so that's certainly part of the experience at a fast casual restaurant.
And so Veggie Grill has been around for a while, but you have also now launched Stand Up Burger and Mas Veggie's Vegan Taqueria. Like, when did you feel like that you wanted to double down and like really do more restaurant concepts as well? Was that when you saw Veggie Grill was up and running and it was doing well? And you were like, well, we can actually do a few more specific concepts as well. How did that work?
Yeah, that really came through pivoting through the pandemic. As all restaurants had to do, we had to take a step back and figure out how we were going to get through it. What are our opportunities? What are our challenges? And one challenge was we had to close several restaurants during the height of the pandemic. And we had always wanted to create a smaller version of Veggie Grill that was we could put into smaller footprint locations and also be simpler to run so that you could build them out for less capital and run them with a lower overhead and ultimately allow us to bring it to markets where we couldn't bring a traditional veggie grill and ultimately be able to franchise them as well. And so when we closed the three restaurants during COVID, during the height of COVID, and we were getting ready to reopen them, which takes time and effort, we decided we would focus on doing it with this new smaller concept. And we started looking at what that would be. And it started honing in on the burger side of our menu. And then as we started getting further into it, we decided it would have a lot of benefit for not using the Veggie Grill name, but having its own identity, because this was not going to have some of the healthier items that a Veggie Grill had, but really focus more on the indulgent burgers. And we added in shakes. And so that's how Stand Up Burgers came to be. And in addition, as we're looking at our dining rooms not being utilized and the growth of delivery and takeout during the pandemic and the growth of some of these virtual restaurant concepts, we looked at our expertise and how we could leverage that. And we had always had a few burritos and tacos here and there on our menu at Veggie Grill. And it certainly is an expertise of ours because we're working with all the latest and greatest meat analogs. And so we said, well, but we could never put a full selection of Mexican food on the Veggie Grill menu because then that would crowd out the sandwiches and burgers and American Grill classics that the Veggie Grill menu really stands for. But the opportunity to create a separate brand that we could bring to market virtually via takeout and delivery and use our kitchens and use our expertise, we said, well, that's an opportunity in the world. People love Mexican food here in the U.S. and we could create a great selection of burritos and tacos and meet this new need of craveable, convenient Mexican vegan food. And so we decided to launch that brand as well. And so that's been a nice additional piece. And so now that we have these three brands, we definitely now have a platform, a restaurant platform that can launch multiple brands and grow them in different ways. And so we really feel like we have a better model now that gives us more flexibility. And we're actually looking at one or two other concepts that we could also put on our platform, leveraging our unified purpose, mission, and expertise.
Very interesting. And when you are moving into a new city, for example, are you thinking then about like kind of launching the full concept immediately? So Veggie Grill, Stand Up Burger, Mas Veggies Vegan, like is that happening at the same time? Or do you kind of, no, let's start with one? Or is it like a specific order that you do things in?
Yeah, so that's where we have the flexibility now. Each of these concepts fits in different types of locations. And so we can bring stand-up burgers to certain markets and smaller footprints. Veggie Grill needs a larger footprint. And then now that we have these multiple brands, we can also leverage ghost kitchens in markets maybe that we're already in or even when we get ready to look at a new market. So right now we're growing our stand-up burgers brand this year across 3 to 5 new locations in Los Angeles and New York City. And we're growing Veggie Grill in what we call non-traditional venues, the universities and airports and healthcare venues. And then next year, we'll start looking at how we take our suite of Veggie Grill brands into new markets. And so, you know, it does take effort to grow each of the concepts. So we have to, at this point, take it a little bit one at a time. But as we get into our groove, then we can hopefully grow each of them concurrently.
Yeah. And how do you see like the market in the US geographically? Is it the same amount of excitement for these kind of brands, no matter where you open? Or are you seeing like there's any areas where people are more tuned into this kind of eating?
Generally, the people who are eating on the healthier plant-based side are in the larger metros that have a higher density of college-educated people. So that's where you're going to find the highest density. But what's great now is every market has plant-based eaters or plant-forward eaters who are looking for this type of food. So at this point, it's not a matter of where, but how many we could bring to each market. So that's kind of how we look at it.
And what do you think the driver is for this change that people are more interested in these types of food? I know, you know, I'm from Sweden originally and kind of have a foot in Europe as well. So in Europe, you know, we talk a lot about climate change and the media talk a lot about climate change. And people are kind of linking plant-based eating and climate change a lot and are saying, hey, we have to change our way of eating because of the environment, for example. Are you seeing that being the same here in the US, or there's like other reasons that people want to eat this kind of food?
Well, I mean, there's three main reasons. There's health, there's the animals, and there's the environment. And all three of those reasons, the awareness has become much more apparent to a lot of people. So everybody has a different kind of motivation and driver and kind of enlightenment point. But it does center on those three, and between different documentaries that have come out more recently and then different reports. Every month you're seeing more momentum, and there's celebrities that are starting to get on board. And obviously there's a lot of new products that create excitement and new restaurants like ours that open up that get more people to see how great the food can be. And it just becomes more a part of daily life. So it's been a gradual but steady evolution over 15 years that's continued to pick up momentum.
Mm-hmm. And you are also an investor. So what do a plant-based brand have to do to get your interest?
You have to, first and foremost, be filling a need with a compelling solution. And those needs change over time. Today, we have great plant-based burgers that taste like meat. And so it's a pretty crowded category. And chicken is getting more crowded every day in terms of plant-based options that deliver on different functionality. Not to say there can't be new great ones. And plant-based milk obviously has a lot of different versions out there. Whereas, you know, there's some new products in the plant-based bacon space that are great. And we just launched a plant-based croissant at Veggie Grill that's great. And you're looking at seafood now and being able to replicate some form factors and textures via fermentation and cell cultivation that you couldn't in plant-based. So, I mean, net-net, it comes back to, hey, you need to have a real compelling solution to an unmet need and then have the team that has the ability to continue to grow a company and make the right decisions as you face different challenges.
Mm. And is there any specific needs that you're talking about in the market right now that for you is like, this is a really interesting problem. There seems to be demand. Why are not more people working on this?
What's great about today is the younger generation of entrepreneurs has really tackled a lot of different problems. And the capital has been there for them to raise it and drive forward. So I think from what I'm seeing, there's solutions coming from everywhere. So I think one thing that gives me optimism is I see people working on every form factor, that there's an animal-based product. There's now a plant-based analog that's either in market or coming to market. And so we're getting there.
And in terms of like being more forward-thinking, are you seeing that the US and Europe, are they kind of in the same pace and in the same in Asia as well? There's brands moving forward. Are you seeing that there's a certain region that is kind of ahead more than others in this space?
Yeah, I think it's more cities than it is, you know, certainly there's cities in the US that are extremely advanced and those are the cities that haven't made that progress. And so, and I think that applies to Europe as well. So Los Angeles and London, obviously, there's been a lot of, you know, there's just a plethora of choices and the populations there are really progressive. Tel Aviv, I've heard, is just a mecca for plant-based products and restaurants. And so, you know, it's happening across the world. I think what's great is, you know, with the internet and with the way information spreads quickly, everybody is getting interested in this. But it does vary, I think, within each of these countries and the cities and some of the habits within those cities. And again, I think there is a more progressive, educated population that tends to adopt plant-based eating first.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think about, I don't know if you're aware that the UK passed a new food strategy last summer where they are saying that the full population in the UK have to reduce their meat consumption with 30% within the coming 10 years to meet the UK's sustainability goals. Do you also feel that here in the US, we are also needing more on a governmental kind of level and involvement of them to kind of bring plant-based eating forward as well?
It certainly would help. We have a problem right now where government subsidies help support keeping meat and dairy costs low. And so ideally and hopefully, you know, with some of the jobs that plant-based companies are creating, that they're going to get more government support. But, you know, it's going to be hard to depend on government to really lead. They're generally followers. And so we need really the consumers to continue to lead with their wallets and supporting companies that are supporting a better future. And then that'll give those companies more power, and the government will follow. And hopefully they'll continue, you know, they'll see, hopefully we'll get some cooperation with our government that will put more funding into plant-based efforts. But there is a big lobby in meat and dairy as well that is not going to be. So I think the bigger, you know, the better strategy is to really show the opportunity and growth of plant-based and versus try to get people to work against the meat and dairy. That'll be a hard battle. Certainly, hopefully we'll get there, but that the shorter term win will be on supporting the plant-based industry.
Mm-hmm. And who impresses you at the moment in the plant-based space? Is there any organization, brand, or person you think that people should check out?
Well, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of great progress out there. Certainly Beyond Meat and Impossible, I think, continue to lead with innovation. Good Catch has some new fish products that certainly have taken that category forward. But I think today, what's great is there's multiple products in each category, and so consumers can try and then choose the ones that are meeting their needs.
All right. And where can people find you? Maybe we should just start with in real life first. In what cities can people find your brands?
Sure. Well, we're across the U.S., across the West Coast. We're in Los Angeles and Orange County and San Diego. And then we've got a handful of locations in the Bay Area. We also have locations in Seattle and Portland. We have two of our stand-up burgers in Chicago. And we have a veggie grill in New York City, a veggie grill in Boston. And soon there'll be more stand-up burgers in New York City, along with the ones we have in Chicago and one in Berkeley and one in Culver City and another one opening in Santa Monica.
And where can people find you online?
VeggieGrill.com be the best place. And there you can also link to our other brands, stand-up burgers and Mas Veggies.
All right. Awesome. Well, TK, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today.
Yeah, good to speak with you as well, and keep up the good work on your end as well.
All right. Thank you. That was our episode for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. The Green Hero podcast was produced by Andrew Rojek, and I'm your host, Ricard Bjerkdal. I'll see you next week for another conversation from our colorful plant-based world. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast or share this episode with a friend. If you haven't already, you can also find Green Hero in the App Store. Download our app and start enjoying a plant-based lifestyle today. You can also find us on the web at the URL greenhero.life and on Twitter and Instagram, where we operate under the handle Green Hero Life. All right, see you next week. Bye-bye.